I was talking with one of my foremen at work the other day, and he was telling me how he was relieved that his son was graduating the eighth grade. He was relieved that he was graduating the eighth day, and the reason why he was relieved because he pays $300 a month to go to the school. Well, now he's going to graduate, and he's going to go to a tech school, and he's going to get a trade. As we were talking about his kid's education, I said to him that it was an investment. You can look at it as an investment. You are investing into his future. You see, every father, every good father is going to invest into their children. We're going to look for the good school, and in his case, he was looking for the proper school to give him a safe and good environment to learn in, to get an education so that he can get a good job. He wanted his son to have that education so that he wouldn't have to do the same type of work that he does. Someone once said, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. But in order to hit a specific target, you must take careful aim. You know, in the movie The Patriot, the father, when instructing his son when to shoot or how to shoot a gun, he said, remember what I taught you. Remember what I taught you. Aim small, miss small. Aim small, miss small. What is it that we are aiming at when we raise our children? This morning, we're going to take the word AIM and use it as an acronym. My favorite psalm in regards to raising children is Psalm 127, in particular, verses 3 through 5. So if you would, look at Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies at the gate. A bow and arrow is not like a shotgun. A shotgun, you put to your shoulder, you point. You shoot, you pull the trigger. You don't squeeze, you pull the trigger. And the BBs come out in a massive amount of little BBs. And depending on how far your target is, it spreads out from a foot or more. So when you're shooting at something, it's a little easier to hit. With a bow, you take careful aim. And if you use a release, you carefully squeeze the release until the arrow is gone. Unlike the shotgun that has a diameter of a foot or more, it has a diameter of about an eighth of an inch. If you throw an apple in the air, the likelihood of shooting it with a shotgun is pretty good. But if you throw an apple in the air, the likelihood of hitting it with an arrow becomes a little less likely. But in order to be able to hit an apple in the air, it takes years and years of practice. It takes a steady hand, a steady aim. What else is very important to understand about the bow and arrow is that once you pull the bow back and you release the arrow, you are not fast enough to reach out and grab that arrow back. You can't retrieve the arrow and then say, let me take that one over again. Once an arrow is released, it's gone. It's taken flight. There's no second chances. We only get one chance in taking aim with our children. Once we release them, they have taken flight. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Our job as parents is to prepare them for life. We are to take aim. The first letter in AIM is A, and A stands for armed. You know, as I was thinking about this letter, I thought of the Rifleman's Creed. And this is what the Rifleman's Creed says. This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life. I must master it as I master my life. My rifle without me is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless. I must fire my rifle true. I must shoot straighter than my enemy who is trying to kill me. I must shoot him before he shoots me. My rifle and I know that what counts in war is not the rounds we fire, the noise of our burst, nor the smoke we make. We know that it is the hits that count. My rifle is human, even as I, because it is my life. Thus, I will learn it as a brother. I will learn its weaknesses, its strength, its parts, its accessories, its sights, and its barrel. I will keep my rifle clean and ready, even as I am clean and ready. We will become part of each other. Before God, I swear this creed. My rifle and I are the defenders of my country. We are the masters of my enemy. We are the saviors of my life. So be it. Till victory in America's, and there is no enemy but peace. There is more to this creed, but I think we get the point. The Marine is armed with a rifle. But what are we armed with? What are we armed with? Jesus said in Luke 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Paul said in Ephesians 6:17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Paul also said in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, not too long ago, we looked at the temptations of Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't use the means of philosophy. He didn't say to the devil when the devil confronted him with temptation, "You know, devil, you know who I am. I am the Almighty God and I can squash you like a bug. You remember the time when my servant Job walked the earth and you had to come before me and ask me permission to do what it is that you wanted to do? I am the same God." No, Jesus combated the devil by using the word of God. What are we arming ourselves with? We are to arm ourselves with the word of God. Always enjoyed this verse. Judges 20, verse 16. "Among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Every one could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss." Love that verse. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. A sling is like a slingshot without a handle. You don't pull the handle back and you pull the sling, but it's similar. It has two long cords with a pouch that's able to hold a rock. You would swing that sling overhead or side of the side of the body, and you would let go of one string, releasing the stone. The stone would then fly. These people could hit something at a hair's breadth. You know, I grew up shooting all kinds of guns. Pistols, shotguns, rifles, all different calibers. And I understand the difficulties of shooting a rifle and hitting your mark. I definitely understand the difficulties of shooting a pistol and hitting that mark. These men were able to sling a stone and hit something the size of a hair. I remember when I first saw this verse, and I said to myself, I want to be like these men. I've always enjoyed shooting and enjoyed the whole warrior aspect of things. And I said, I want to be like these men. Like these men can sling a rock and not miss within a breadth of a hair, I want to be able to handle the word of God and be able to conquer a hit, whatever it is that I'm aiming at, by using God's word. I want to be able to answer or to give an answer always to any man that asks me of a reason of the hope that's in me. I want to be able to answer my children when my children ask me a question pertaining to life and the word of God. I want to be able to lead my wife in a way that is biblically accurate. I want to be able to sling the stone of the word of God. Do I think that I have succeeded in handling the word of God as well as those who sling the stone? Yes, I have. No, of course not. I'll never be able to handle the word of God as accurate as those who are able to sling a stone. But one thing I do know, I will continue to read, study, and meditate, striving to become as accurate as I can with the Word of God as those who could sling the stone. You need to continue to arm yourselves and become as accurate as you possibly can with the Word of God. A is for armed and I is for instruct. Instruction. You cannot instruct unless you first are armed. But once you are armed, you need to instruct. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As I've mentioned before, 2 Timothy was Paul's last letter, writing to his son in the faith. So he is instructing Timothy in what it is that he is supposed to do, how he is to live his life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy was to pass along that which he learned from Paul to faithful men so that they would in turn teach others the same. This is the Great Commission. We are to make disciples, learners of all the nations, but that must start in our homes. That must start in our homes. We must instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. Turn now, if you would, to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Some of you, if not most of you, have put this to memory, at least 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we consider what it is that we want for our kids, would we say that we want them to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work? Or would we say that it is more important for them to have a better education that will lead them to a better job, that will lead them or provide them with more money? Every true believer will say the correct answer, and that is, I want them to be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Ephesians 6, 4 says this, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. How is it that we are to train our children in the Lord? Are we to sit down with them with an open Bible like you would a formal setting? Are we to have family devotions every night? Are we to send them off to a good Christian school or to homeschool them so that we can oversee every single minute of their lives? Well, listen to what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So often Christians will say that it is so important that you have family devotions, or that you need to send them to a Christian school or homeschool them. But the truth of the matter is that we need to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In other words, we need to take every waking opportunity to train our kids. It's not going to be necessarily a formal setting. It's not necessarily going to be a Christian school or a home school. Some of the most interesting conversations I've had with my kids have been in the car or working on a project. Sometimes they start the conversations and sometimes I do. But if we love the Lord with all our heart, they will see this and it will be something natural to talk about. If Christianity, if your love for God, for Christ is evident, it's going to be evident in them. So many times, my wife has reminded me the importance of my influence in my kids. And say, but if it comes from you, if you tell them, it will mean so much more. Fathers, we have a responsibility that is unbelievable. We have such influence, such impact on our children, and we need to use the opportunity to show them, to tell them, to teach them, to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And the better armed we are, the better the instruction will be. The better armed we are, the better the instruction will be. A is for armed. I is for instruction. M is for model. You have heard the saying, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. As a rule of thumb, our children will never do what it is that they don't see. Our children will never do what they don't see us doing. But the opposite is also true as a rule of thumb. They will never tend to do that which they don't see us doing. You know, Jesus is the ultimate example, and he is used often as an example. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. What was he modeling? Humility. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his step, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. But when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he was threatened, he did not, or when he suffered, he did not threaten. What was the example of Jesus? How he handled suffering. Paul said of himself in Philippians 3, 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. When we instruct our kids on how we are to do something, we are only teaching them knowledge. But when we show our kids how to do something, we are teaching them application. Let me say that again. When we instruct our children on how to do something, we are teaching them knowledge. But when we show our children how to do something, we are teaching them application. One of the things about me is that you can tell me how to do something and I just don't tend to get it. But you show me how to do something. I remember I was first saved at CFC and I never changed a brake in my life. Larry Miller came over, or I went over his house, and he showed me the first one and he had me do the second. I've known how to change brakes ever since. We need to model for our kids so that they know how to apply. We need to instruct our children on the importance of reading our Bible, witnessing to those who we come in contact with, serving in the church, supporting the church through our finances, loving the family of God, teaching others, attending church, memorizing scriptures, and loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. But if they don't see us doing what it is that we are teaching them, then they most likely will not do it. Do as I say, and not as I do, does not work. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, looking at verses 6 through 8. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound in speech, that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. One of Titus's responsibilities as a pastor was to show himself to be a pattern, a type or model of good works. A greater calling than being a pastor is the calling of being a father. And we have a variety of dads, and Lord willing, future dads. To those who have children that are all growing up, although they are grown, there are times that they are still going to need instruction, and they absolutely need a role model. They need to see that you are still faithful in your relationships, your relationship with God and His people. And there are others in the church that is depending on you to be their spiritual father as well. You know, there are so many people, so many kids that don't have what it is that we are discussing today. And they need older men to come alongside to have that aim for them, to instruct them, and to model for them. To those who are still raising children, this is hard work. to be armed with the Word of God in a way that we can instruct our children is hard work. But it is the only way we can truly guide our children to true success. And as far as being an example, we are going to fail. But that just means that we need to pick ourselves up and continue on. We have to define success not as the world defines success, but as the Scriptures define success. To those of you who by God's grace will be fathers in the future, start the process now. The preparation of being armed now so that you can instruct your future family. And when the time comes, you will be a great model. You know, I've talked to my children and some of the bad habits that they may have picked up from me. I say, get a hold of it now, because it's much harder to get rid of it when you're older. Take hold of it now. If we are going to be successful as fathers, we need to take careful aim. Take aim, fathers. Take aim. Let's pray.